have this advisory council here. And we want to make sure that they are providing input, right? So we have some context. We have some notion of trends across the globe, nations and regions that are taking the lead, finding economic opportunity, engaging in that opportunity. We know that we are leaders here in Washington State. We know that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity that we need to build on, and we need to get something done, right? Our job is to engage across the stakeholders and deliver a plan that we can agree upon, right? And send to the government. And talk to this about, this is Washington Maritime Blue. This is our plan, this is our vision, and our strategy to become the most sustainable maritime industry in the nation by the year 2050. And we have a process in place in which we're gonna guide you and our stakeholders importantly through that process. And we need your input. I talked earlier about how the co-chairs said this needs to do something. And this is great. And I know we're spending a long morning and hearing part of this. We need to take your time and all of our energy to get something done. And we're starting that this morning, or we're almost at afternoon in making this happen, right? I want you to know that we're on the same page with that. We brought together three co-chairs that represent government, industry, as well as, I think, the environmental community and awareness. We have Representative Gail Tarleton, who many of you know as quite the champion of maritime issues and community issues right here in this region. Incredible background, understanding maritime, her time as a commissioner in the Port of Seattle and her time in the state legislature and all of her background. She's an incredible leader for us. Frank Foti, CEO of Vigor. I can't pass up a quick story. The first time I ever briefed the governor in this role was when Frank was coming to have a sit-down conversation with the governor. And it was the day that he had to stop Bertha. You remember we got Bertha going again and he had to call and stop it. I'm telling you, he was not in the best mood. And I walk in for my first briefing with the governor, and it's briefing him on Frank and rebuilding the North Pacific Fishing Fleet. And Frank walked in and said, "Governor, I'm here just to talk to you about love." And it's Frank's commitment to love and his values in that company that makes him an innovative leader. And it's incredible what he's doing with those values. So I had to share that. I have to tell the story for years to come. Dennis McLaren. So Dennis with the Cascadia Law Group, he currently serves on the Puget Sound Partnership's Leadership Council, and many of you know him as the former administrator of the EPA Region 10, as well as former director of the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency. And I'll get a chance to invite the rest of our co-chairs, or introduce the rest of our co-chairs as well. We have Senator Ann Rivers, who's not able to make it today, or Senate Delegate, but she's really sorry she couldn't be here, and will continue to engage, as well as her community down in Vancouver. Chairman Leonard Forsman, thank you for being here. Really excited about your engagement. Remember when we welded it onto the keel of the new Suquamish that we're going to christen here shortly, and all of your leadership around the nation, around the globe, for tribal communities, thank you. Commissioner Fred Fellerman from the Port of Seattle, Mayor Lori Geer, the City of Anacortes, Roger Millar, Secretary of the Department of Transportation, Brian Bondlender, my boss, Director of the Department of Commerce, Shada Sahandi, the Director, Executive Director of the Puget Sound Partnership, Craig Kenworthy, Director of the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency, Eleni Papadakis, Executive Director of the State Workforce and Training Board, Coordinating Board, CEO John Wolf from the Northwest Seaport Alliance, and we have Kurt Beckett sitting in for him today. Thank you, Kurt, for being here. Paul Stevens from Saltchuk, Vice President of Saltchuk, and we have the President of Tote Maritime sitting in for Paul Stevens today. Thank you, Michael, for being here. Joe Ritzman from SSA Marine. Maybe I'm missing Joe. We're missing Joe at the moment. Incredible leader. I've been working with for a number of years. Straight to work with him. Stephanie Moreland, thank you, Vice President of Trident Seafoods. Vince O'Halloran from the Maritime Trades, AFL-CIO. Bob Miyamoto, Interim Executive Director at the Applied Physics Lab, University of Washington. John Dwyer from the U.S. Coast Guard, the OCMI. And Bruce Anderson from Starcrest. Starcrest Consulting as well. Bruce himself plays an incredible role globally with the IMO and is leading our Puget Sound Maritime Air Quality Reporting that has been happening since So an incredible group, and I'm here to serve you as your staff. I'll move through this process along with the NVGL group we brought on to facilitate this. So I just wanted to take a few minutes, Representative Tarleton, and then Frank and then Dennis, take a few minutes, give us some of your perspective or charge, how you see this process unfolding, answering some of those questions. You have to pass the microphones around a little bit, after we get some of your thoughts, we'll turn it over to DNVGL to help facilitate your input. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Val Tarleton, and I feel like my whole life has come to this point. I am really, really delighted to be able to serve as a co-chair on this incredibly distinguished panel of people, many of whom I have known in other parts of my life, even before politics. And I see in the audience so many of you who have been on a really long journey with me as I migrated into the political world 10 years ago this year to try to figure out how I was going to help save the working waterfront in the city of Seattle as we grew, as the county grew, and as the state grew. The pressures on protecting the just extraordinary, actually incalculable investments we have made in the jobs and the opportunities and the way of life that has been part of the history and tradition and culture of all of the peoples of Washington State, starting with our tribes and into today. I really want to thank Joshua Berger, who had the audacity to submit an application to the federal government to get Maritime Blue created. I used to be a federal government contractor, and I know how hard it is to put together those proposals and get a match, an in-kind match from partners in the academic community or the private sector or both, and in the public sector to win. And he won something that we have never tried to get before. To win first time out of the barrel is extremely hard. And he did it because of the investments that we have been making in trying to advance the maritime positions, food processing, jobs in the trades for all of the people who are making money in this sector, in this state. I'm also really grateful to the governor. I have served in the legislature now for 5 years. You're sitting in my district, the 36th Legislative District. And the governor never lost sight of the fact that we need diversified economic engines in this state. And for him, maritime was always part of it, not just because he was born here and his generations of family have lived by the sea, but because he knows that all of us need opportunities to do work we love in a place that is second to none for where we can live. I also grew up on the ocean, and it was 3,200 miles away from here on the East Coast. I'm just a kid who got to go to the docks and watch the fishermen go out to sea. And when we moved here to Washington State and we moved to Seattle 27 years ago, we moved to Ballard so that I would be near Fisherman's Terminal. And I've never left because I feel like a home. So all of my work for 5 years has been to ensure that we are building the people who innovate, who build, who create the jobs, who go to sea, who work here on shore trying to figure out how we can make sure we go to sea safely, and that we can feed the world with clean, affordable seafood. Everything is about the people because we're the ones who will carry it forward for the next generation, and that's why this Innovation Council and this Innovation Initiative is what will ensure that we're all just kids sometime, but the next generation of kids have to know what it feels like to be able to go down to the sea. And
I believe we can do it. So I am looking forward to working with all of you. Thanks very much.
Gail, would you mind passing the mic over to Frank? Frank, thank you.
Oh, to you. Okay, we're going to Dennis first.
Okay, we'll go to Dennis first.
Got two mics. I want to thank Joshua and the governor for inviting me to co-chair this effort, and I'm really excited to see the number of folks that are engaged in this room, not just the advisory council, but all of the folks in this room. For the folks in this room, we don't have to, I think, reemphasize how important this sector is to our economy in the Northwest and in Washington State. It truly is one of the big drivers, not only in terms of our trade with Asia and Asia Pacific, but in terms of fishing to the north, certainly in terms of our strength in bringing people to live in this area, because this is such a wonderful place to live with the water and with all the advantages that that brings to us. And I think part of the reason I'm on this group is that for 15 or more years, I've been involved in building collaborations between the maritime industry, the ports, and government in terms of addressing some of the environmental issues that are really important in retaining this place as the wonderful place that we all value. And there's really no better time to bring this group together to address not only how we have a sustainable economy going forward, but how we work on the environmental issues that are in front of us. We all know that despite where our national government is heading right now, we do have a low carbon imperative for our economy going forward. It's definitely going to be something that we all need to work on. The governor clearly is committed to that, but anyone who's looking for the sustainability of their business going forward needs to be focused on addressing how they lower their carbon footprint and meet that challenge going forward. We also have air quality challenges and water quality challenges, and those are things that we've become leaders in the Pacific Northwest. For more than 15 years, I've been involved in things like the Northwest Ports Clean Air Strategy and bringing together the Port of Seattle, the Port of Tacoma, the Port of Vancouver, British Columbia to create leadership around that. But we have big challenges going forward to sustain that. And one of the other roles that the governor's asked me to play is on the Leadership Council for the Puget Sound Partnership. And in that effort, we're clearly seeing the challenges that we've got to keep this place, the place that we all value. Our orcas are at risk, our salmon are at risk. I spent 7 years at EPA meeting almost quarterly, I think, with Leonard and his colleagues as tribal chairs on salmon recovery issues and treaty rights. And if we're going to be responsive to meeting our obligations to uphold those treaties and to keep this place the place we want to live and to make Puget Sound be not only the avenue of commerce, but the place that we all want to live and work and play, we need to work and be successful in this work. I've had the opportunity in the last few years also to lead a number of U.S. delegations to China and to Taiwan on issues of climate and air quality. And folks like Bruce Anderson attending some of those, Stephanie Jones-Stebbins from the Port of Seattle, many of our experts from the Pacific Northwest are who folks in China and Taiwan look to for expertise around innovation in the environmental area. But now they're starting to leapfrog us a little bit. I've been now to Shanghai and Shenzhen and Kaohsiung, and seen fully autonomous, electrified cargo handling terminals. And one of the challenges that we've got is how do we create win-win opportunities here? How do we create efficiency while becoming greener? How do we create economic opportunity while becoming greener? And that is what I hope to hear from the members of the Advisory Council, the members of the industry, the members of the environmental community that are participating, the tribal community. how do we create an opportunity to move forward, have actionable items that are win-wins, that create efficiency, create economic opportunity, and create an environmental future going forward that is sustainable for all of us, addresses air quality, water quality, habitat issues. So I'm really excited to be a part of this group to help lead it. I'm looking for actionable items coming out of it that don't just gather dust on the shelf, as Joshua said, and I'm really excited about this opportunity. So again, thanks to Joshua and the governor for giving me this opportunity to help.
Thank you for your participation.
Good morning. Frank Fody from Vigor. Joshua, thanks for making this happen, having us be part of it. And I'm going to ask everybody to participate in 60 seconds of something. And that 60 seconds is just quiet, where we have to take some 60 seconds, part of that 60 seconds, and appreciate some part of the physical beauty that we get to live in every day. So we're going to start now and try and walk for 60 seconds. Thanks for that. At Vigor, we do, we have a mindfulness initiative and we try to get ourselves focused and connected. And a lot of what we're dealing with here is about connecting what we do in marine to the environment that we are part of. It's just really cool to be part of it. From a Vigor point of view, I'm gonna put some whimsy in here and some tangible. Because it really is both. It's not one or the other. For us, as we're working on, you know, what we want to try to do, and we make complex fabrications and marine transport safer, cleaner, and what we're after is making it regenerative through our values and through attention to self and work. That's what is driving us. We have different words around it. It's not a perfect statement what I gave you, but it sort of characterizes how we look at the world. We're in the right part of the U.S. to be situated this way. And we're in the right city for an initiative like this. I'm going to give you a couple of interesting data points. One is the first all-electric ferry run in the U.S. is going to be done in that progressive state known as Alabama with a $1 million grant that's old from the Department of Energy, which is actually underway now to make this really short-run vessel all-electric. I'm going to give you who in the room knows about the lightning strikes across the ocean shipping lanes. Raise your hand. Not too many. The major shipping lanes in those big vast oceans out there are now seeing lightning strikes at twice the rate of everything around them. And it's a literal atmospheric issue due to the emissions that come from vessels in the world's major shipping lanes. There are a number of studies that will tell you this. There's an article in The Guardian, I believe it was UW. Was it UW, Justin, that did a study? Okay. Guy in the back there is my assistant, Justin, with the blue vest on over there, my researcher before I talk. And we've known about this issue for a while. There are major, major reasons why this matters. And somebody in the process here talked about every increment of something we do matters. Would really be nice if we celebrate every increment. Every increment, because it's just a massive challenge. Not one thing, there's just not a panacea. I'm gonna go to something pretty tangible. We are spending, we have this group of people in this room. I know a lot of you and have met some of you. And so we've got public officials, press, labor, tribes, a few businesses, agencies. Do we have any investors who want to make long-term investment that is going to take a long time to pay off in coming up with new sustainable technologies for marine transportation? Okay. For us, we want to manifest. We want to actually make something. And we are spending a huge amount of time seeking investment today that makes the future happen. So I looked up the dictionary definition of investment. So the first thing that comes up is the action or process of investing dollars for profit or for a material result. In the short run, technologies are there, but profitable technologies to be able to build things and operate things are not quite there. So here's some of the additional definitions under investment, because there's one of these we can do. A thing that is worth buying because it may be profitable in the future. Maybe. Yes, we'll meet the maybe standard. The last one we meet 100%. An act of devoting time, effort, or energy to a particular undertaking with the expectation of a worthwhile result. Can't really think of a more worthwhile result than having a world to live in that is as beautiful as what we have outside this room. You're just walking in today, the sounds, the beauty around us, the sort of the mix of the city and the outside environment, marine life, human life, and commercial structure, it's all right there. How we get there in this, whether it's this group or something else, is finding investment. The ideas are here. The investment is harder. Anyone, and by the way, if you are an investor and you just didn't want to tell us, please see my assistant Justin in the back of the room, because there's lots of great ideas. We've got to make them tangible with investment. I'm going to suggest also that we need to look besides our own governments for that investment. Let's stop asking for what is really, really hard to get and gets tied up in all kinds of knots. Let's find some other modes. So for Vigor, we want to be part of this. We want to learn everything we can learn about what's happening innovation-wise. We want to share what we're doing, but mostly we want to listen to what others are doing. And we want to find investors who are willing to accept that last definition of investment so that we can build a tremendous industry here around a hybrid electric autonomous vessels. It's there for the taking. We have a protected law in the U.S. called the Jones Act. And we are the only region in the United States that's really got enough shipbuilders and enough passion for the environment to make these things work. What we don't have is investment, so we need to go find that. Any remarks looking forward to participating?
Thank you, easy.
Yeah, Brett, I'm sorry, but I need to run out of the meeting today, which is going to be appropriating $300,000 to a solar array on the roof of Pier 69 just down the block. It was made possible with a $300,000 grant from the Department of Commerce and the full support of the matching program the full support of the Port Commission. We were culmination of basically my 2-year term at the office with the full support of the Commission to create an Energy and Sustainability Committee. This is all very consistent with our goals of being cleanest, greenest port in the country. We're also very excited to be able to host the Innovation Center at Fisherman's Terminal, where we're making this tremendous investment so that we can support the jobs of the future. And just apologize for having to run out, but very excited and honored to be able to serve on this, and thank you for the invitation. Look forward to working with you guys in the future.
Great, thank you. Okay, so I know we're itching to engage, and we need to figure out what this thing is going to look like and how we're going to get input from